Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do there at Small Business Heaven. Archives and articles and hundreds and thousands of each one of those. Thousands and hundreds, I should say. And lots of other stuff you can do there, including finding out more about our Brain Trust members, one of whom is one of our guests this half hour. Her name is Beth Hoppe, and she is the producer of the PBS series Colonial House. And if I'm not mistaken, she's listening to us right now. Beth, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Beth. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
It's
glad
to have
be
you.
On.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
I missed you in our last visit.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
I almost didn't have a moment when they told me you weren't going to be there. That was on the last of the innovation series that we did a while back. And you brought someone with you, didn't you?
Yeah, today we've got Julia Fries, who spent last summer living as a 1628 indentured servant, and she's joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Julia. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's good to have you here. Okay, The Colonial House is another one of your outstanding productions, Beth, and I have not been through it completely because I've been out of town, as you may know, but I have gone through it a fair amount, and of course anything that you do, Beth, is always the very best, and I want to congratulate you on this. It was on last week.
Thank you.
A couple of nights last week and a couple of nights this week, right?
Right. We had 4 hours on last week on Monday and Tuesday, and it repeated on many stations beyond that. And then we go again tonight with 2 more hours and tomorrow night with the concluding 2 hours. And we've condensed the whole experience that our colonists went through for 5 months into an 8-hour story, which will complete this week.
And that's on PBS on Monday and Tuesday night. Okay, Julia, now...
Yes.
I heard a country song a while back, the title of which was, I Know What I Was Feeling, But What Was I Thinking? during the five months that you were doing this, did you ever want to sing that song?
I think quite a few times, probably. You know, I think when you envision time travel, especially when you're a little girl, you always say you're going to go back and be a princess. Nobody ever really wants to go back and be the indentured servant.
Right. So. Is that what you were? You were an indentured servant, huh?
I was an indentured servant to the Wires family, and that was the governing family. So, you know, it was kind of the price I was willing to pay to have the incredible experience.
Well, 1628, folks, let me put that in perspective for you. That's about 7 or 8 years after the Pilgrims came over on the Mayflower, wasn't it, Beth?
Yeah, well, it's what we were set out to do was to show what the early colonies were really like. And I think everyone has an idea in their head about the Mayflower and the Pilgrims and the Puritans and, you know, sort of people dressed in dark colored clothing and being very pious in the way they behaved. But in fact, there were colonies all up and down the East Coast of the U.S. that were, mm-hmm. every single one of them was an economic venture. Not all of them were religious in nature. And that's what we wanted to get at. These were economic ventures. They were high risk. They were, one of our advisors, we have historic advisors involved, likes to call these the dot-coms of their day.
Exactly.
Because they were companies that would send people over, and the idea was to make money to send back to England.
Well, exactly, and one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, even the Mayflower expedition, only 47 of the 110 people who came over were there for religious reasons. The other people were looking for a new start, and the venture was driven by economics. It was a business venture.
Exactly.
But now the interesting thing, though, is when most people think of colonial America, they think of Ben Franklin wandering up and down the streets of Philadelphia and, you know, people, you know, having brick houses around. But 1628, this was still pretty darned early in the history of our country.
Absolutely. And that was what we were really wanted to get at, was a more vivid picture of what life was like back then and a more accurate idea of what some of the, you know, people came for. I mean, as you say, many people came for a chance for a new start, to get rich, to get away from maybe an arranged marriage where they were coming from. There's, you know, there's almost as many reasons people came as there were people who did come.
Exactly. Julia, now... tell us about your living quarters as an indentured servant.
Basically, I lived up in the loft portion of the house on a very, very thin straw mattress. And at one point, I was living with about, I was sleeping with about 10 other people up in this very small area. So you figure things must have been pretty bad over in England for me to, you know, sign a 9-year contract as an indentured servant.
9 years.
That would say that this, okay, well, this is better living conditions over here in the New World.
I mean, so you were up in a loft in a small house with 9 or 10 other people.
That's correct. People in my bed. Sometimes it wasn't always the same people in my bed. You know, having to be the first one up at the crack of dawn and taking care of these people.
How accurate do you feel that your experience was to the real thing 300 years ago?
I think that this was probably the closest recreation of that time period that has ever been undertaken. And I think the producers and Plymouth Plantation, who was our consulting museum that we used with this project, did their very, very best and put, you know, as much attention and detail as was possible. I mean, it's tricky to control the planes flying overhead or the lobster boats in the distance, but, you know, there were times where you'd look around and there was really nothing that would tell you that you were in the 21st century.
Well, that must have been hard to do, Beth. She was talking about the planes and everything because, you know, in this day and time, sometimes I want to take photography of countrysides and it's hard to get a vantage point without a telephone wire or a power line.
Oh, yeah. We searched the whole East Coast, and we still, you know, we did find a beautiful remote location. It was actually land owned by the Passamaquoddy tribe, and we leased it from them, which was a nice echo of history. But there was, as Julia says, there was nothing we could do to control the planes and sometimes the boats in the distance. We, you know, contacted the FAA, but they refused to reroute them all. So we just had to do what we had to do. But we did try really hard to get the details right, because I think that's what makes it real for the participants. If the clothing is right and the food is right and the houses are right, you know, as Julia says, sometimes you look around and there was nothing, you know, from the modern world, and you could feel a sense of what it was.
So from a business perspective, the people who were the landowners, the sort of the colonists, the freemen, I guess we should say, I think that's the term that you guys use as well,
yeah,
is that these indentured servants were really tantamount to slaves, weren't they?
Well, it kind of paved the way for slavery. Julia's contract would have been 9 years. So at the end of 9 years, she would have been free. As a woman, she would not have been given any land. But the men who indentured themselves at the end of 9 years might have been given land. But what happened was that there was such a need for labor because all the, you know, the different ventures took so much work.
Right.
That they looked for cheaper and cheaper sources, and it ultimately led to slavery.
Beth, hold on to that thought. We're going to come right back after these messages and talk about a slavery thing. Right after these messages, Beth Hoppe and Julie Fries, 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Beth Hoppe, who is producer of the PBS series Colonial House, which was on last week for 4 hours. It's going to be on again this week, in fact, tonight and tomorrow night for 2 hours each on PBS. And folks, if you've heard Beth on the show before, she was involved in the Innovation series, wasn't it, Beth?
Yes, it was.
And we had a good time visiting with her about that. And so if you've watched those and you know what kind of quality work that Beth turns out, so you're going to want to make sure you see this. And also Julia Fries, who was one of the participants.
Mm-hmm.
And Julia, modesty in a situation like you were describing, as I think back on my military days and also a time growing up on the farm where you were pretty close to folks, modesty kind of goes right out the window, doesn't it?
It's funny because in the year 1628, you know, certain people, women especially, were forced to be modest, and we had to have our heads covered the whole time. We were pretty much covered from throat to ankle as far as clothing went. But yet you could be in the same room as, you know, 9, 10 other people in the middle of the night and have to use the bathroom right in front of them. So,
right,
you know, there's a lot of irony in there as far as modesty went.
Yeah, exactly. Beth, when you think about how prudish these people seem to be, yet when it came to, you know, nature, basically they were realists too, weren't they?
They certainly were. I mean, we set it up as realistically as possible. And Julia said, when you have to go to the bathroom, well, there were no bathrooms. There weren't even outhouses. And we did the historic research, and that was the way it was. People would just go into the woods. They were much more used to that. Bodily functions were not something that, you know, they had different ideas of what to be private about.
Yeah. Julia, what about your situation with regard to, let's talk about you as a 21st century woman thinking about going back into the 17th century and doing this. As I said earlier, I know what you were feeling, but what were you thinking, and what was your motivation for doing something like this?
I saw this as a tremendous opportunity to just go on an adventure. I mean, to step back into somebody else's shoes, to, you know, take on this subservient role, which was, you know, 180 degrees from the way I am in my 20th.
I was going to say, how did that work out for you?
I mean, I am a very independent, single, you know, female in the 21st century, and everything I have.
Did you have to talk to yourself a little bit?
I did. I had to bite my tongue a lot is what I had to do, because I was not allowed to, you know, give my opinion about anything. And that was tricky, because I'm pretty strong-headed. So.
Well, you know, Beth, when I think about the women I've known over the years, including some of my grandmother and some other ladies, I bet women in those days bit their tongue a lot, too.
I'm sure they had to bite their tongue all the time. But they also could exert some influence through their husbands. I think, you know, I just think human beings are human beings, and it would have been hard for them to just completely back off and not have opinions, but they had different ways of asserting themselves. And I think that was the hardest thing, was getting into that, the mindset. It was easy to set up the tools and technology and, you know, no toilet paper, but I think that the journey for the colonists to really try to put their heads where people would have been in 1628 and be in those roles of indentured servant or woman who's not allowed to have a voice is the hardest thing, but some of the most interesting stuff comes from that.
Julia, as you got into the role, what was something that you learned about these people? Not so much about their living conditions, but about the things that they thought and the perspectives that they must have had. What did you learn from that?
I learned that these people had incredible drive. I mean, the perseverance that was necessary to, you know, come to a new world and to live under totally unfamiliar circumstances and you know, what at that time would have been very frightening. Who knows what's beyond the woods? I mean, that's a little bit scary. Again, things must have been very desperate back in England for the people to, you know, just be so compelled to come to the new world to go through these, you know, incredible challenges.
I got to think hope and faith.
Absolutely.
Would have been the two things that they would have had to have had in incredible abundance.
Absolutely, and a sense of community. And I think that that was one of the most endearing aspects of this program, is that, you know, the viewer is going to see a community forming in a way that, you know, they may not even be able to relate to in the 21st century. We mm-hmm. wave at our neighbors, but a lot of us, you know, never sit down at our neighbors' tables and get a chance to talk in the way that we did on the colony.
Beth, don't you think that, you know, in the military, we had something called esprit de corps, which was a way of pulling together for a greater cause. Was that, you think that was going on in those days?
Well, it certainly went on with our colonists. And we took people who had huge differences in you know, they were from all over the country. They had just a diverse set of value systems and beliefs, but they came together on our little tiny colony, you know, under this experience, and I think that had to be what happened back then for a community to be successful, because the odds were really not in their favor.
Well, what about before we go any further, we're coming up on the end of the segment, Beth, but to give us a website. I know people can go to a website, can't they?
Yes, it's at www.pbs.com. pbs.org/colonial house, and there's all kinds of additional information, resources for teachers.
What if they wanted to buy the CDs?
Info.
What if they wanted to buy the CDs? The DVDs?
They can do that there too.
Buy the DVD there too, folks, if you want to buy that for your classes, for your schools, that sort of thing. Beth Hoppe and Julia Freese, thank you for being here. Beth, hope you come back soon.
I sure will. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Got to take a quick break. I will be right back with Josh Costell. We're going to talk about salesmanship. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing, baby.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.